Welcome to Scrappy ABM. This is your podcast with practical playbooks that don't break the bank. In this podcast, we dig into the exact playbooks that ABM practitioners are using today to get their first ABM program off the ground. We'll dig into how they're using their current tech stack in order to create scrappy programs that rely more on creativity than new technologies. So if you're looking for how to get ABM off the ground in your organization in the next 90 days, let's dive into this episode. Hello and welcome to Scrappy ABM. This is your podcast with practical playbooks that don't break the bank. This is your host, Mason Cosby, and today I am joined by Nick, who is the founder of Air Traffic Control, and is going to walk us through an incredible concept that is how to launch a content-led ABM program in just 2 weeks. Nick, thank you so much for joining me today.
My man, I'm excited to be here. Thank you very much for having me.
Of course. For anybody that doesn't know, Air Traffic Control is magic. And what it does is analyzes all of your data to understand what people are engaging with from a specific content perspective based on various content topics, and then also helps you to identify your content gaps so you can talk about more of the stuff that your ideal customers actually care about, which is incredible. That said, Nick, can you walk us through how that then converts into an ABM program in 2 weeks?
Yeah. I mean, look, Mason, you and I have had conversations before about how content is, you know, arguably half of an ABM, ABX program, right? It is the thing that travels across every touch point, right? And the thing that's really remarkable to me is how underutilized so much content is in a lot of ABM programs, right? A lot of ABM programs are mechanics. It might be a hardcore process of, hey, we're going to define our target market. And then we're going to do a lot of this like by hand thing. Now, if you have 25 accounts in your ABM program, and you've got a robust, SDR AE team, that might actually be the right move, right? All completely customized, all down to the person. You're actually producing content effectively with every single thing that you do. And that might be the right move on some level. But if you're creating blog posts and podcasts like this one and case studies and all these other materials, that really needs to get activated, A, really kind of in any program, but B, it actually enables you to expand from 25 ABM accounts for the quarter to 250 potentially, right? It's like, how do we scale up really great experiences? And so when we think about content and the opportunity and where ATC fits in, you're right. We get a really great idea of what people care about, you know, from three primary sources. A, it's all their engagement with you prior. So when they open up emails, engage with those and respond. When you have a sales call with them and the recording comes through, or the notes from a Grain or a Fathom or something like that, they're telling you what they care about. And classically, we were kind of reliant on the sales team to process all of that information, which is a mess and super voluminous, and then try to create, you know, relevance based upon the context. That's tough to scale. It's definitely tough to scale doing it well across a larger organization. You got 15 salespeople, 12 SDRs, and you're trying to get all of them to do that well. It's just an unrealistic expectation of your sales team. And it definitely doesn't help your marketing team, right? And so we take all that information, say, here's an interest graph, and then we look at all the content and predict the best of it. And there's a couple of things that are really important about getting going in a couple of weeks. One, we do, to your point, understand relevance to an audience. So what we find more often than not is that a couple of things are true. A lot of contacts haven't been engaged at all, which is not uncommon in an ABM program. Like, we identify the ICP, we built the list, but like, they're new. So we do have an automated LinkedIn profile and post enrichment solution that's really nice inside the product, and also automated company research. But the thing that's really interesting beyond that is that once you do have a good idea about what this audience cares about, whether you've known them for a while or you're kind of doing new research in an automated way, there's this reality that you've got content gaps. Right now, you might be relevant to 2/3 of your ABM target audience. And what we say is, those are the 2/3 that you're ready to go for, right? Don't go and do an ABM program to the entire ABM audience if you don't have anything interesting for a third of them, right? So when people say, oh, my ABM, you know, outbound hit rate is X, like, were you ready? Were you prepared for that? And if you've got a decent content archive, you're going to be ready for a decent proportion of them. And then we give the audience insights back and say, and here's what you're missing on that other third, right? Write about this stuff, create materials around this stuff, put some case studies around this stuff, and then go do that other third as a second wave of your ABM program.
Yeah, I really love the call out of you have this amount of content that is relevant for this audience. So here's where you can easily start. And I honestly think that is, of all the things that air traffic control does, probably the most helpful component, because it says, hey, here's your easy win. Here's your easy lift. And now you know where your gaps are more effectively. So I'm curious for you, as you then think through more of the data side of identifying or building out an ABM program, where are you typically seeing people actually pulling their data from? Is it exclusively CRM based, or are they going out? And then how does air traffic control work with specifically third-party data in that context?
Yeah. So I'm super excited about what I would kind of generally describe as the signals market and all the tooling around that. So, you know, again, back to it, if it's like, these are people we've been engaging for a while and now we're really going to like activate against it, your CRM is just an incredible source of insight. It just classically, all we kind of knew was Mason opens more of my emails than Jenny does, right? And it's like, okay, well, I guess I'm quantifying kind of like two-dimensionally, but I don't really know about what, and I don't know how to like use that to do a better job. So we come in and do that third dimension of like the actual subject matter interest and all that. But there are lots of really interesting signals, and it depends on what you're selling and who you're selling it to. But tracking things like hiring trends and what people are looking for with public companies, right? You've got annual reports that are incredible. I mean, you literally have the C-suite talking about their strategic imperatives for the year to come. All of this information now is starting to come to a point where in some cases, it's a bit of a custom build. In some cases, there are, you know, vendors out there that do a really nice job. It could be, you know, tooling from a place like Clay or Bardeen, which do these like waterfall plays. It could be a keyplay.io or any of these guys that kind of like listen for these signals. But those signals, I think, are incredible context. And I think it's also a really nice way to say, yes, I know what my ICP looks like and what my ABM target list is. I'm going to wait until they look like they're ready. And then I'm going to reach out with the most relevant messaging and content and all that that I possibly can. And I really think that these world-class businesses, what they're doing, and I think, Mason, you have laid this out really as a lot of your own framework and approach, is waiting for the right time, right? Waiting for those opportunities where these guys are literally telling us one way or another that they are ready for what it is that we do. Now it's time to go and put our best foot forward. And we're in the best foot forward camp. Like, that's our job here at ATC. But I think the work that these signals providers are doing is like truly remarkable, like really valuable.
Very cool. So what I'm hearing is, again, with air traffic control, it's going to help you with the relevancy, putting the best fit forward and saying, hey, based on what you've done previously, then this is what you should be looking at next. So it's very much so kind of automating the next step content. And I'm curious in that context, as you look at distribution, how are you seeing people are most effectively distributing content based on that relevancy?
Gosh. So I think that's really cool. I think there's a couple of ways that I am, things that I wouldn't have come up with, our customers have kind of shown us and asked us, and we've developed new features as a result of them saying, could we do it this way? And it's like, oh my God, that's such a great idea. A couple things. One, you can actually create an audience of people, a LinkedIn audience of everybody who's likely to engage with a particular piece of content, and then go boost that content, you know, out on a LinkedIn to that custom audience. And it's this really interesting way to say, look, I'm having a hard time getting into the inbox. Everybody is, right? It's super noisy. There's a ton of stuff going on. You really kind of have to like have the customer tell you they want you there before you start getting in there. And that's one of the things that's really hard when you think about personalization. People are like Spintax 3.0 and yada, 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 and massive volume. And it's like, it's just not enough. Right? There's a social contract. And so getting really great visibility out on LinkedIn into awesome content that you have, spending very, very, very little. We're talking about $50, $60, you know, on a micro audience that's going to be really interested in a piece of content. It's a very durable use case, but I also love seeing the content get leveraged, you know, it more meaningfully in the sales motion, right? So, hey, I connected with this person on LinkedIn. I'm going to DM them this piece of content that is recommended for them. So rather than that being automatically sent out, you know, I'm the SDR, I'm the AE, I'm just going to like copy and paste this recommendation, say, you know, Mason, I thought this would be interesting to you. And it might not even be your own content. I think that's the thing that's cool. It's like you can take somebody else's content, syndicated content. We have a syndicated content service, and say, this awesome article from Forbes looks like you might find it really interesting. The idea here is constantly finding a way to leverage content, reuse content in a value add proposition with as much like relevance as humanly possible. And I love the sales applications of it. But once people get into the funnel, I think having a life cycle that just consistently says, hey, you weren't ready, but I'm just going to keep sending you really relevant stuff when we've got it, right? And that life cycle programming is somewhere where we're really seeing, essentially, that's where all of our customers are starting, is how do I take care of the middle? Because it's 95% of my funnel.
Yeah. I also just love the call out of including third-party content, because a lot of people don't, let me reframe that. No one has something that can address everything that a customer is thinking about. Yep. So the easy ability to actually pull in content that is based on, hey, you were engaging in these things, I think this is relevant for you. And also, yep, I just think about it from a buyer perspective. Like, they don't know that air traffic control's on the other side, but what it feels like is, hey, I was thinking about our conversations and I saw this and it was relevant and I wanted to send it your way. And that is such a great way to actually build relationships, and it's now scalable. That's pretty incredible. So when we think about distribution, you outlined already LinkedIn ad approach. Obviously there is some component of automation that is able to be done through HubSpot emails, but then also just on the contact record, being able to go in and say, hey, this is content that's relevant, and then doing that as a one-to-one outbound program. All of those are super helpful from a distribution perspective. Obviously, we've talked a fair bit about the content that we're sending to people. It is literally everything that air traffic control is all about. I'm just curious, as you think through the content gaps, you know, obviously it's going to take into account, here are all the content assets you have. It's going to pull in third party content. How are people able to look at what they've got today and then identify, these are our current gaps, we should go and fill in?
Yeah. You know, this was kind of a knock-on set of features after we got the recommendation engine working, is this recognition that it's like, yeah, like, you know, companies are in various states of content relevance, right? And what do we do about helping our customers kind of figure out the other part of this continuum, right? And so what we effectively say is, all right, well, if you have prior engagement data or this LinkedIn information or, you know, news about the business or signals from third-party providers that we're consuming because we're connected to the HubSpot account, what we're able to say is, all right, based upon all the content that you have and what the interests are, these are the things that you just don't have any or enough coverage of, right? These are topics that you need to be talking about more often. We also track what your competitors have been writing about across their, you know, websites and their LinkedIn pages. So we get all this signal in, and then we distill it all down and say, these are 10, 20, 30, 40, 50, whatever topics that you really should lean into. Here's how many people need you to write about this, right? Here's what your competitors have said about it. Here's what you've said about it in the past, if anything. Here are the other topics that this audience is also interested in. So you can think hub and spoke, right? And we continue to iterate on that part of the product, bringing in news items soon, partner content, what your partners have said about things, right? Really to say, this is your automated desk research. Now it's time for you to come up with a unique POV and to also think about the format. And I think the formatting piece is really interesting, right? So let's say I've got an audience, you know, of people who are late stage, and I want to push them over the edge. Well, I might be thinking about a format of a case study, or maybe I'm using that for a webinar, or maybe I filter the reporting down based upon our high-end prospects or ABM prospects that are in Chicago, right? And I'm going to do a live event, a dinner with 12 highly valuable prospects who all share a couple of topics of interest in common. And I'm going to go grab one of my customers in the Chicago area who loves that topic, who knows that topic, who can come and talk about it with us in front of these 12 high-end opportunities. And so that's where I think that marketers, you know, people talk about, you're replacing jobs and things are going to go away. It's like, no, we're shifting marketers back into being able to do the human stuff, right? And just rationalizing this incredible volume of data and what is oftentimes an incredible volume of content into something that marketing can actually build off of, that sales can build off of, as opposed to like constantly being in a state of opinionated, gut-driven campaign ideation.
Yeah. I love that call out of specifically, because trust me, I've had plenty of our content marketers and myself sit down and do the massive content audit that's in a spreadsheet that then nobody ever looks at a second time. And it's really labor intensive, and it takes it's just super time consuming. And again, if nobody's really using it, it's actually not that high value. So I think it's a great call out. Last couple of questions would just be, you know, as you've been looking at people launching these kinds of programs, what have been any kind of the roadblocks that have typically come up for people as they're trying to get this thing out the door?
Yeah, I can't overstate this. It's the operational muscle. I am consistently, blown away by where headcount funding is going, even in, mid-market and enterprise businesses. There are companies that are investing in GTM ops and rev ops and marketing ops, and they're winning. They're winning. Even when they don't have ATC, they're winning because operationally they're doing the best that they can with what they have.
Yep.
Right? And environments like that were an accelerant. But there are a lot of environments where we find that people are just kind of, it's failure to launch, right? The head of marketing, the CRO, they're totally capable of ideating an end-to-end program for the year to come, but they just can't actually make it happen, right? It seems like maybe a little pithy, but it's incredible that if you're expecting to do anything that looks like modern ABM, if you don't have the operational capabilities, either in-house or through an agency partner, all you're doing is just drawing stuff on whiteboards like the one behind me and hoping that it like kind of magically appears at some point, and it's just not gonna.
Very cool. I obviously couldn't agree more. As we think about operations, I think all of our team is essentially ops people, and we've got a couple of content people, but like everything is just, what's the process and how do we actually progress accounts from one stage to the next and then make it easy to actually action. The other thing that's been wild is we've done some data audits, as you just said, of like people have great ideas. I always tell people, if you're going to do a data audit to figure out viable triggers within your first party data, look at custom properties. Custom properties were specific to your organization. Somebody said, this is a good idea for some reason at some point, and maybe it's not used. We found an entire competitor rip and replace program that had already been fully built out from a data perspective. They just didn't build the workflow and actually action it because the person left the organization. Like there are just so many campaigns for people that are like 90% of the way there. So
awesome to find it. I mean, good on you to unlock it for the customer, but geez, I mean, I'd be so ticked off as a head of marketing. Like, what? We were sitting on this and then we never moved it. Like, what a disaster.
Yep. It was wild. So much. I've only got one other question for you of just, as you're thinking through everything we talked through, are there any other pieces of advice for somebody that's trying to think about how to get an ABM program off the ground for the first time?
Yeah, I would say first things first, probably stop actually using the acronym. The reason, like, I kind of get to this, it's just good go to market, right? And I think one of the things that's kind of tricky about ABM is that it's got an M in it. And I kind of hate it. I hate that it's an M, because it's not a marketing program. It's a revenue program, like top to bottom, from awareness to renewal. I just think what you're really thinking about here is phenomenal alignment and being super planful across everybody, right? CX has to be in there. The sales team has to be in there. The AEs, the BDRs, the marketing team has to be in there. Everybody from brand and demand gen all the way through to product marketing. Like it really, really requires you to just run a great revenue org. And I think people get kind of caught up in the acronym. I think they get caught up in the tooling, you know, whether you work with an ATC or not, isn't the important piece.
Yeah.
You know, and I think that you have talked about this a million times over, Mason, and I am a disciple of, you know, your teaching on this, but it's like, without the alignment, the rest of it's a waste of time.
Yeah. Couldn't agree more. And it's been literally in the master class day with User Gems, I said, if you're looking to get started with ABM, like, don't call it ABM to get started. Like, call it activation playbooks, call it trigger-based programming, call it literally anything else. And as much as I love how easy it is for people to know what Scrappy ABM does, it actually has caused problems with clients at times because their sales teams are like, oh, we've already done that. And it's like, so there's no way for me to like hide what I'm doing. But if you're not working with an agency, hide it. Like, I mean, that's sincerely and kindly. Like, there's so much baggage with this approach now. Call it literally anything else. And just don't call it ABM.
I love that.
Well, Nick, as always, it's such a pleasure to chat. And thank you for walking us through a lot of how people can start to think through doing a content-led ABM program. And for quick context, as a shameless plug for ATC, like, you guys do have a free trial that helps you identify some of your content gaps that people can trial for about 2 weeks. So if we want to check that out, where would you send them?
Yeah. So a couple things. One, you can always come grab me on LinkedIn. It's Nick Zeckets. And also hit our website. You can sign up for it there, or at least express some interest in getting a better idea about what it is and whether or not it's even worth your time to go through a free trial. You'll get to do a demo with me and we'll chat and kind of think about where it might be useful. But yeah, the website is airtrafficcontrol.io.
Perfect. Well, Nick, again, thank you so much for joining me today. This has been Scrappy AVM, and we'll see you in the next one.
Thanks, y'all.
Thank you so much for listening to this episode of Scrappy ABM. If you're looking for more content just like this, I highly recommend you go subscribe to our newsletter. We release weekly playbooks so that you have the actionable ways in which you can start to build an ABM program today. Just go to scrappyabm.com/newsletter to subscribe. And if you enjoyed this episode, we'd really appreciate if you'd leave a 5-star review and hit the notification bell so you never miss an episode. I look forward to seeing you in the next one.